Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Week in Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, April 17th, 2020. And as you can see, my hair is getting a little shaggy from being home and not being able to go to the barber. I'm starting to look like my dad did in the 1970s, but I promise it's still me. And we're going to get started like we do every week over on YouTube. Over on YouTube. Even with video views on YouTube soaring right now, YouTube's advertising revenue is in decline as advertisers pull back or cut back on their advertising or pause it altogether. This will have an impact on YouTube creators who rely on the advertising revenue share from YouTube. YouTube is releasing a new tool called the YouTube Video Builder. Video Builder allows anybody to create 6 or 15 second videos out of existing assets that they already have, like still images. This may sound like a lot of the other tools that are out there, and it kind of is, but it's also free. Right now, the tool is in beta. You can apply to get access to the tool, but we think it's going to be released to everyone very, very soon. Now let's dive in to Google. Google says they are fixing an issue with Google Discover. That's that little area below the search box inside of the Google app that shows random news stories it thinks you might be interested in. Google Discover right now only allows large images to be shown if they're coming from Google AMP pages. And if they're not a Google AMP page, then they get a small kind of little photo with a little summary next to it. Definitely, if you're showing up in Google Discover, especially if you're a publisher, you want your large photos to show. It's not supposed to be happening, so Google says they're going to fix that so that large images can show from any type of page, whether it's normal HTML or Google AMP HTML. Google's John Mueller reiterated that websites should strive to be unique, compelling, and high quality. That can be really hard to achieve, especially if you're in an industry with lots of competitors who are already doing unique things. Got to find something that makes your brand or your website unique and makes it stand out to both users and to search engines. Google has lost a lawsuit in France and now will be forced to pay French publishers for using the titles, summaries, and images from their news stories inside of Google search products. This is a pretty big change, but it's not the first time this decision has been handed down by a judge in a country. The last time this happened, Google pulled Google News out of the country entirely. I believe that was Spain, but I don't have my notes right in front of me. So Google has kind of decided not to pay publishers in the past. They are saying, however, that they're trying to work something out with publishers in France so that they can keep providing a search service that allows people access to French news while also complying with this new ruling. In Facebook news, Facebook published a resource for restaurants and cafes to try to help them get through the COVID-19 pandemic. And what's interesting about this resource that Facebook published is that in it they recommend restaurants and cafes stay in communication with their customers. The first way that Facebook says you should stay in touch with your customers is via email, and the second way is through your own website. In fact, Facebook is number 3 on their list, and Instagram business pages is number 4. Due to health concerns surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic, Facebook has actually gone ahead and canceled all large in-person events until June of 2021. Facebook is going to start alerting users who have interacted with fake COVID-19 or coronavirus news stories or blatantly obvious conspiracy theories via the website. Now, who knows if this is going to change the mind of Stan with straight C's that you went to high school with, who thinks Bill Gates somehow is using 5G to control the birds and he wants to infect everybody with a virus so he can profit from a vaccine. It's ridiculous stuff that's going on out there. Love you, Bill Gates. This stuff is insane. Facebook is finally cracking down and they're saying, yeah, this is pretty insane. Anybody who tries to interact with that fake news is going to be redirected to the WHO website about COVID-19 to try to cut down on all the spread of misinformation. over on Instagram. Instagram has a new challenge sticker, and this new challenge sticker allows Instagram users to challenge their friends inside of their Instagram stories to do things. Now, I have no idea what this is like because I don't really use Instagram a whole lot, and I don't have any friends, and I don't do social media challenges. Well, okay, I did the ALS bucket challenge like 5 years ago, but that's pretty much it. So I'm not, this isn't really something for me, but I'm guessing kids or people who are bored and use Instagram a lot are probably going to love it. So look for more of those challenge stickers. If you're a marketer and you've got an audience on Instagram, maybe use those stickers to challenge them to something and keep them engaged, keep them having fun. Instagram now has an order food button, and they have special stickers to help restaurants drive delivery orders. The problem here is that you have to be an Instagram business page user. So if you set your restaurant Instagram up several years ago and you haven't migrated to a business profile yet and you want to take advantage of this, you have to have the Instagram business page to be able to use this feature. I also am not entirely sure who it integrates with. Instagram says that the sticker integrates with third-party delivery providers, but the only delivery provider I was able to discover was Chow Now, which is not exactly as ubiquitous as apps like Uber Eats and DoorDash. So not entirely sure if it works with all of the apps or if it works with something on your website, but check it out. If you're a restaurant business owner, it might be a way to drive a few extra orders. A federal judge in New York has dismissed a lawsuit against the news website Mashable for embedding an Instagram photo by a professional photographer into one of their news stories. The thing is that when you upload a photo to Instagram, you give Instagram a license to then sublicense your image to anybody else via the embed function. And therefore, it's completely legitimate for Mashable, a big company, to take your photo with the Instagram embed code and embed it into their article. The federal judge upholding this is essentially saying that you don't have to worry about the server rule anymore when it comes to copyright, that now there's this whole precedent around sub-licensing. Pretty much every single social media platform, especially those that do embeds like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, have a sub-license portion of their terms of service. If you don't like that concept and you're a photographer or a content creator who doesn't want people embedding your content, then really your only course of action here is to not upload that content to the platform, or to upload different versions, or to upload it as private so that people can't embed that content. I will say that if you're a photographer and you're really frustrated that somebody like Mashable is using your photography via an Instagram embed, that does sound kind of crappy, reach out to them and offer them a license. Tell them, hey, for like $1,000 a year or whatever, you can license any of my photos and you can, you know, use the Instagram embeds, but you don't have to use those. I'll give you access to a catalog. See if there's a way you can work out some deal with them anyway. Or you could even, you know, take a screenshot of them embedding it in their article and you can advertise that. And you can now tell people as seen in Mashable or as seen in TechCrunch, wherever it is. So think about ways you can use their embedding your photography to make money or promote your photography to other people in hopes that they pay you to either take the photos or pay you for licensing of your photos. Over on the Snappity Chatty, Snapchat now has a COVID-19 resource center for businesses. Here we go to Reddit. Reddit has decided to become incredibly transparent with political advertising on the platform. There's now a subreddit called Reddit Political Ads, where you can go and look at the political ads being ran on the platform right now, and those that have been ran on the platform in the past, all the way back to January of last year. When you click on one of the ads, Reddit will give you a link to the advertisement. It'll tell you roughly, approximately how much was spent running the ad, what subreddits were targeted, what interest groups were targeted, and all kinds of other things about these political ads. As a marketer and a researcher, I find this really fascinating. It's very similar to the Facebook ads library. So I like both of these. I like the transparency coming out of social media networks, especially with ads that have to do with politics or have some sort of other social impact. Over on TikTok, TikTok has announced new controls for parents, and they're going to automatically disable all direct messaging for anybody under the age of 16 using the TikTok platform. This is probably going to make lots of teenagers really, really angry, and lots of parents probably really, really happy. Security researchers have found a vulnerability in TikTok that will allow anybody to upload a video into your TikTok account and make it look like you uploaded that video into your account. So until they get this patched, maybe check your TikTok account for weird, mysterious videos showing up. And if you see them, delete them immediately, because Lord knows that could be really bad. Bonus round! Paid search spend, or PPC spend, is estimated to drop about 15% in Q1 of 2020. COVID-19 appears to be taking a toll on Amazon as a company. This week, they actually stopped accepting new grocery customers. Amazon also started slashing affiliate commissions. If you're not familiar with affiliates, these are other websites or apps or services that link to a product or category on Amazon and then get a percentage of each sale made through that link. For example, up until this week, you could be a furniture affiliate on Amazon and make 8% of anything people purchase through the content you create or the apps you build, anything like that that links to these products over on Amazon. But that all changed this week, and now those same furniture affiliates can only make 3%. In fact, the changes are now, most of the categories on Amazon are between 1% and 3%, whereas they used to be between 3% and 10% commissions on affiliate products. Yelp has updated the way in which they label ads on the Yelp website. Now you will just see a little bit of a text heading above the ads that says sponsored results, and below that will be the ads, but there's no individual labels on those ads whatsoever. I'm not entirely sure if this is a test or not, but from the looks of it, it appears that Yelp is probably getting burned pretty hard on advertising revenue. That's probably why we saw the layoffs and the furloughs of about 2,100 employees last week. And so this week, they're trying to make up for that by increasing the clicks on the ads, by making it a little less obvious that those are ads and not actual business listings. There's a new website that's all about washing your hands. Parody artist teamed up with Pornhub to build a website called ScrubHub that shows nothing but videos of people washing their hands, washing dirty hands and big hands and small hands. It's really kind of funny, but also a little disturbing. Go check out ScrubHub.tv and you'll see what I'm talking about. A farm in California has found a way to profit from the pandemic. They've created a new service called Goat2 Meeting that allows you to book a farm animal for your Zoom online conference. You can pick from a goat, a cow, or even a llama. That's it for the Weekend Digital Marketing Podcast Edition. I hope you enjoyed this week's edition of our podcast. If you did, please subscribe. If you have any feedback, head on over to the joeyoungblood.com website, fill out the contact form, and let me know your thoughts. I'll talk to you next week.